From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 101, the episode where we don't talk about Back to the Future.
No. The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
And by Pants. Pants, have you hugged your pants today? On the web at pants.org.
So we can talk about pants, but not Back to the Future?
No, why are we talking
Stop.
About...
Stop, okay.
Don't why, say why did you bring it up
I'm
again?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It was last week. It's not this week. We're not talking about
We're
Back
done.
To the Future.
Unless we
and
go back internet, in time.
The internet
we
ruined
last
back,
week.
The internet ruined Back to the Future. I was looking forward to Back to the Future Day, and they ruined it.
Guys,
thanks, internet.
Why
I'm
are
so
we talking
sorry.
About not okay. the thing we're not talking about?
No more talking about Back to the Future.
That's the last thing.
All right.
But you know what we can talk about? Stories.
Stories.
And you can help us decide which news stories we talk about on every episode of Deemable Tech by going to our Reddit page and submitting stories you think we should cover and voting other stories up or down.
Oh,
just
yeah.
go to deemable.com/Reddit.
Oh, I'm going
to
try that.
Emphasis on help us decide.
Help us.
We're not just going to talk about anything you post on the
yeah.
Reddit page.
We'll consider it.
I'm specifically talking about calculators here, but that's another story. When you know what else you could do? You could go on iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. If you're listening to this right now and you've never subscribed to our podcast, we kind of hate you. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa, okay.
It's a little harsh. That's a little harsh. But
I don't hate you.
We don't hate you, but we'd really, really, really like it if you subscribed. Subscribers really, really matter to us. That way you get the podcast automatically. You always get it. You mm-hmm. don't miss an episode. Mm-hmm. And seriously, the most important thing is leave a review. Reviews matter so, so much, mostly because we are fighting to stay ahead of Al Letson's show, Earthang.
Earthang.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great podcast. If you haven't listened to it, definitely check it out. Don't leave them a review, though.
No.
Because we're only 4 reviews ahead of them right now. Mm-hmm. We want to spread that margin as much as we can. So, you know, go and leave us a review.
In fact, if you have reviewed them, take that review down and give us a review instead.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah.
Or you can review them, but mention Back to the Future. Just write a review of Back to the Future.
Or you could review them and say something great about Deemable Tech.
And link like, to us, yeah.
Like, oh, Deemable Tech is such a great podcast. Just leave that on their review. I would love you forever if you did that.
That
Please
would be
do
amazing.
That.
Yes.
Please go to Earthang. No, as long as we've got a good spread, as long as we're
It'll
still
okay.
ahead. You know, but, you know, whatever you want to write about, leave us a 5-star review. It'd be awesome. We would love it and we would appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you.
But now let's take a look at this week's rundown. All right, so have you guys heard about YouTube Red?
No.
Kind of vaguely. I heard like some headlines about it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's not a porn site. That's the other one. That's
It's not
RedTube.
That's RedTube.
It's not RedTube.
Yes.
Not to give them free advertising.
Just to clarify, it's not that. I don't know why YouTube went with this branding.
Not great.
Nope, no. Well, as you know, guys, the rumor has gone around for years that Facebook was going to start a premium subscription service. And as far as we know, at least, Facebook is not going to do that. Mm. But YouTube, on the other hand, has decided to launch a premium service.
Oh.
So okay. for $10 a month, you can watch YouTube videos without any irritating 30-second ads before a 15-second video. As I have experienced so often, I want to hear a little clip from a TV show and 15-second video, and here's a 30-second ad. Or any ads at all, for that matter. Plus, you can get streaming music from their new service, YouTube Music.
Oh.
Which, I mean, isn't that where we all go to listen to music anyways? I mean,
sometimes, yeah, I mean, actually.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to hear something that I haven't heard in a long time or some new music, I'm going to YouTube and I'm going to pull up the music video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they started this new service where you can stream the music from YouTube videos on your phone. And it's you can even close your screen, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you also will get access to exclusive content, exclusive original content.
Hmm.
I'm not insanely excited about that because so far they haven't announced, you know, the next, you know, Orange is the New Black or, mm-hmm. you know, House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's Google, so they should be able to pull something off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that does sound like something you might be interested in, actually, what do you guys think? Are you, it's another $10 a month service.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the sticker. To get rid of ads, I would be actually
I would potentially consider a monetary, you know, I'd buy something. But yeah. I'm not sure if I'm $10 a month, you know, about it.
Committed to it. Now, do you have Google Play or do Google Play Music?
Yeah, but I don't subscribe.
Oh, you don't subscribe to it. Oh, okay, gotcha.
I mean, the thing is, there's so many subscription services now. Like, by the time you're, like, you know, doubling down on Apple Music, Spotify, Netflix, Hulu, whatever, you're paying basically for cable all over again.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Do you pay for any music services, Sean?
I do not. I have used, like, the free Spotify, and I guess technically I do subscribe to Amazon Prime Music because
I'm an Amazon
Prime member, and I've used it every once in a while. It works. Mm.
When I had Amazon Prime, I didn't even think about the fact that I had music access too.
I kind of forget about it too. Unless
Amazon.
I'm like on my phone or on my iPad. I'm like, oh yeah, I could be playing some music right now through Amazon. But yeah, I don't think I would pay for this either. I don't really mind YouTube ads. I don't know if I'm watching enough stuff on YouTube that it really bothers me.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I've kind of been irritated at YouTube ads lately, and I feel like more YouTube
uptick.
Videos have them. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So well, probably they're trying to annoy you, so you will pay for this service.
That's true. That might be why they're doing that. Well, if it is something that sounds good to you, you want to make sure that you don't subscribe to it on your iPhone.
Why's that? What?
Why?
Well, this might sound crazy, but as you know, Apple takes, or you may know, Apple takes 30% of in-app purchases.
Mm-hmm.
So most companies will just bite the bullet and eat that loss because of the convenience of being able to pay right out of your Apple device. Mm-hmm. It actually gets a lot of people to buy. So, you know, if you're able to stay right in that same app and you don't switch around, it really makes it a lot easier. It's just one touch click buy.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies, though, like Amazon, decided that they weren't going to pay, so they pushed the checkout page to a website. So you actually flip out of the app, go to Safari, and make your purchase there, so Apple doesn't get anything of it. Google is trying something different. Instead of eating the cost of Apple's commission or potentially losing a sale by sending a customer to a website, Google is passing the cost on to you.
Oh.
Well, not you, Tom, because you're a...
I'm good.
You're good. But for iOS, so iPhones, iPod Touch, iPads, and I guess maybe Apple TV too.
Mm.
If you buy a subscription to YouTube Red on an iOS device, you will pay $13 instead of $10 a month. So every month you will pay an extra 30%. So come October 28th, when YouTube Red launches, make sure to go to YouTube.com to sign up and save yourself $3.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good to know.
That was a really interesting way for them to do it. I mean, I know a lot of small businesses, when they're dealing with credit card transactions, it can get really expensive for smaller transactions. So what they'll do is they'll say, okay, well, if you want to do it by credit card, do you mind paying the credit card fee?
Yeah.
And I mean, and some charities do that too. I don't mind that at all. Like, I'll be glad to pay for the convenience of paying for my credit card. 30%, though, is a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to pay that. I think Apple shouldn't take that much anyway, but that's just me.
I just really want to know why YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what's important.
That's all I want to know out of this story.
Like red? What?
I guess since their logo is red.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube's color scheme is red.
Is red, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think it needed to be...
Why not plus or extra or...
That would make more sense. Yeah, exactly.
I
feel like there's been other brands that have used red as a premium label.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Walker. Well, that's black.
yeah.
So, yeah.
YouTube black. See, that even sounds cooler.
But, I mean, people use colors as a indication of it being a premium label.
It does sound strikingly similar to a certain, channel for acquiring certain kinds of certain videos.
Yeah.
With things and people doing certain things.
Yeah. Not safe for work stuff is what we're saying.
Right. That other channel that is similarly named. Maybe they did that on purpose?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that could be the case.
What if they acquire said channel?
And it can be part of the package. Oh, yeah. Their subscriptions will go through the roof.
You know, on a similar note, I was reading an article the other day about our favorite show, Silicon Valley.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And how they have completely misrepresented the porn industry. Like $15 million for, if you haven't watched Silicon Valley, sorry, you're not going to get this reference, but you should watch it. If you like our show, you would like Silicon Valley. Pretty safe to assume. But yeah, so they were like $15 million for us. Compression, no, there's no way we could afford that. Like maybe $1,500. We're not going to pay $15 million for compression. Yeah,
that's
no
interesting.
Way.
Well, speaking of advertisements, you know, we're complaining here about the advertisements on YouTube. Well, actually, advertisers have something to say to us. The Washington Post reports that...
Usually it's just selling us stuff.
That's true. The Washington Post reports that the online advertising industry is saying, we're sorry.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Or at least the what part of it done? Which is represented... Well, what haven't they done? The part of it which is represented by the Interactive Advertising Bureau. There was a recent blog post on the Bureau's website by Scott Cunningham, who's some sort of high-level executive for the Bureau, and they wrote, quote, "We messed up."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said that the systems that have allowed marketers to track and target advertisements have, quote, "slowed down the public internet and drained more than a few batteries." And he attributed this to plumbing that was over-engineered.
Plumbing?
Plumbing, yes. I mean, so in case you're wondering why the online advertising industry is suddenly waking up to the fact that they've been annoying us and slowing down our web pages after all this time, the answer is two little words. Do you know what those two words are, Ray?
I do not. What are the words?
Ad blockers.
Oh.
Yeah. Ad blockers have become hugely popular, of course, on desktop browsers.
Yeah.
And they're now actually beginning to come to mobile as well. The latest version of iOS actually opens up the iPhone to ad blocking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Right.
It allows ad blockers for the first time on.
I haven't tried that yet. Have you heard any good things about it?
No. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything.
If I were you, I'd get on that, man.
Honestly, I'm a publisher, so I would feel horrible.
Like, not me.
I make money off of advertisement on a project that I have, and I'd feel horrible.
Yeah.
But do you use ad blocking on your Android?
I do not. It's not easily set up on Android yet.
No.
That I'm aware. If I'm wrong, people can send me emails.
What?
Advertisers, of course, are concerned about this whole setup, to say the least. Which is thus the blog post.
Sure, sure.
In Cunningham's blog post, he announced that the IAB is developing a new ad system called Lean, L-E-A-N, which stands for Light Non-Invasive... This doesn't add up. Okay, I'm just going to read you what I wrote, which stands for Light Non-Invasive Ad Choice Supported and Non-Invasive. I wrote non-invasive twice. There was probably an E in there somewhere. Just imagine that. Imagine that part.
We'll figure out what it is.
Yeah,
we'll
put it in post.
Awesome.
If its ads are really... any of these three or four things, the fourth thing, who knows, that would be a welcome change.
Right.
So what do you guys think? Ad blockers, advertising, is this too little too late?
I kind of feel like we're already annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here's what gets my goat, especially on mobile these days. Like, and you guys maybe you've experienced this. You load up a web page, you start to like, you know, it's a news article.
Mm-hmm.
You start to read it, and then all of a sudden, like, all the text shifts down. So you scroll down, you start to read again, then all the text shifts back up. It's because it's loading some like ad that's like making it change. And it'll do this like a couple times. And like the rest of the web page is loaded, but the ads are still loading. And so it's like shifting everything around.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Like you said, it does seem like too little too late. Like I remember the first time that I heard the term ad blocker, it was at least 10 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was on a desktop browser or whatever. But why didn't they start thinking about that then?
I don't know.
Like, yeah, most people are on their mobile device now, but like...
Well, I think this is the first time that big companies are getting involved.
Yeah.
You know, Apple hasn't exactly turned on their own ad blocker, but they've allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, like the Apple News app, you know, basically has no ads on it.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, Facebook's doing a similar thing.
It has no ads on it yet. I mean, to be fair, publishers aren't going to keep giving away their stuff for free.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Facebook's doing similar things with its partnership with news publishers, those fast-loading news stories. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah.
There's a lot of this kind of stuff going around where it's like the providers, like, you know, the Apples and the Facebooks and the Googles of the world are realizing, hey, this is chewing up our bandwidth and our users don't like it and we don't get anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we serving up these ads again? for these other guys?
Well, to clarify on what you were trying to say earlier, it's light encrypted.
Encrypted.
Ad choice supported, non-invasive ads.
Mm.
So
encrypted. Encryption
and, I mean,
is good.
That's the way they should be. I mean, if especially, it's gotten less lately, but the flash ads were so horrible. And they finally have stopped doing those.
And I can never click on that stupid spider. It always ran away from me.
Yeah. And also, too, I mean, making it where the ad choice supported, where it's actually something that is interesting to me. I've talked about that tons of times. I don't mind if you advertise to me if it's something I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I looked at something online recently, and, you know, it's been haunting me ever since. And I actually bought it because I was like, you know what? I really do want to get that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it was. It was the Squatty Potty. That's if you haven't heard about it, look up Squatty Potty on YouTube. There's a hilarious video. I'm
but
not
if they
selling,
look it up, it's going to follow them around, apparently.
It will. It will follow you around until you finally buy it.
Will haunt your dreams.
Squatty Potty.
That is quote, entirely true.
That is a direct quote from Ray Halster.
The Squatty Potty. It will haunt your dreams.
It's a wonderful thing. That's all I'm going to say about it. But yeah, I mean,
Deamble Tech is brought to you by the Squatty Potty.
I'd love some of that Squatty Potty
It'll
money.
It will haunt your dreams.
Next week's Underwriter. The Squatty Potty.
Call
it
us,
will haunt
call
your
us.
Dreams.
Squatty Potty people, get us on the phone.
There you go. Yeah. So I think, you know, I don't think it's going to change overnight, but, you know, if it starts slowly rolling out, that'll be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to another big company. We were just talking about some big companies. Okay. Amazon.
Heard of them? Heard of them?
Have you heard of them?
Yes.
Did you buy the Squatty Potty through Amazon?
Did I? No, I actually got it at Target.
Oh, that's okay. Well, Amazon has filed a lawsuit against more than 1,000 people they say have offered to write fake reviews for money.
Oh,
shoot.
Yeah. As Mashable reports, Amazon is going after people on Fiverr.com.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, which is a website that lets people do tasks for as little as $5, who offered to write and post 5-star reviews for products in exchange for payment from sellers or manufacturers of said products. This follows a similar lawsuit that Amazon filed back in April of this year against a group of websites that offered to write Amazon reviews, including buyamazonreviews.com. That's not very subtle.
That's a good one.
And buyreviewsnow.com.
Oh, there go my reviews.
Yep, there you go. As Amazon says in the claim, while small in number, these reviews threaten to undermine the trust that customers and the vast majorities of sellers and manufacturers place in Amazon, thereby tarnishing Amazon's brand.
Mm.
I guess they also had a problem with people getting around the whole verified like buyer type thing.
Wow.
That's something that they'll show up in a review saying like this person actually bought this product through Amazon. They're saying that some people will buy a product from this seller, but the seller will just like send them an empty envelope. So they'll have like tracking for it, but it won't actually be the product. They're like paying this person.
Wow.
I've kind of wondered about this on some Amazon reviews. Like, it doesn't surprise me that this would be going on.
Well, I always felt like there were crappy reviews. Like, you could tell that there was, like, a brand new product that no one's heard about, and all of a sudden there's, like, 50 five-star reviews. Yeah. I'm like, how did you even sell that many that fast?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, the interaction rate is, like, lower than 2%, you know? You have 100 people buy it, you might get 2 reviews. So how are they getting these reviews so incredibly fast?
You know, it sucks, though, for, like, Fiverr.com. They're suing people on Fiverr. That means these people are, like, doing these reviews for, like, $5.
Yeah.
And now
they're
getting sued by Amazon.
Yeah.
They're making money off of it nonetheless, so...
I'm not saying what they were doing is right, but it's like, wow, that's going to be a seriously disproportionate response.
Yeah, and Amazon did say they're not going after Fiverr. They are only going after the people that are using it to get, you know, these jobs and everything.
Yeah. And I'm sure that it's going to be a massive deterrent effect. You know, other people who are thinking of doing this will see this and be like, you know what? I'm not going to risk the wrath of Amazon.
I wonder if this will have any overflow to the other things that I see on Fiverr a lot that are kind of unscrupulous, like buying Twitter likes and buying Facebook likes,
maybe,
or follows on Twitter, whatever.
But
and,
I think,
and also iTunes reviews.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
when we were thinking about, you know, bumping up our iTunes reviews. You know, maybe we should have done that. No, I'm just kidding. We like genuine iTunes reviews.
That's right.
Which, by the way, if you haven't done so already, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Yeah.
Although that'd that'd give us a huge edge over Al.
If we bought a bunch, that's a good point.
We're not doing that.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know the difference between Twitter and Facebook likes and follows versus Amazon reviews is like Amazon reviews come down to the integrity of what Amazon is doing, right? It's like, can you trust what you read on Amazon's site? Well, they want you to believe that when you see a review of a product or a book or whatever, that's legitimate. And when there's all these fake reviews out there, that undermines that legitimacy.
That's true. I know that. I do that. Well, I will look through the Amazon reviews, especially if it's for a product that I have no clue about.
Sure.
It does. This does bother me because I'm like, who can I trust at all?
Mm-hmm.
As far as this goes, do I need to go to Consumer Reports or whatever?
Right. Yeah,
and do that every time.
But if I learn that someone's Twitter followers are fake, I'm not like, the world is lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right, though. I did just recently buy a product that it was really dependent on what the Amazon reviews were. I don't even think
that
I
the Squatty Potty?
No. It was not the Squatty Potty. It was an endoscope, though.
Yes. Okay, I don't want to know anymore. I'm not asking any further questions.
I bought a 20-foot USB endoscope.
No.
So that I could use it in the walls of my house.
Home improvement.
For home improvement purposes.
That's all.
We're calling it the walls of your house now.
Okay. But I feel like with Amazon reviews, the reason I like them is like, okay, this is another actual person who used this. This isn't a professional reviewer for Consumer Reports or something
like
that. This is just a regular average person who will give me an idea of how it, whatever product, how it will work for me, how it will affect me, whatever. Have you ever looked at reviews for like music or anything on Amazon? I feel like with that type of stuff, I don't care whatsoever.
Very occasionally. Only if it's a band I'm kind of passionate about, and then I'll be like, you know, they have a new album, and I'll be like, oh, what are the... Actually, when I do that, it's almost always to, like, validate my own opinion of the music. I'm like, I didn't like this very much. Let's see if other people agree that it was crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I first read this story, I thought they were talking about fake reviews, which there's tons of really, really funny reviews on Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hutzler 571 Banana Slicer... If you have not read the reviews on that product, you are missing out on life.
I would be sad if they started taking those down. Because
or suing people for them.
Yeah.
Yours truly has submitted a couple comedy gems, he believes.
Yeah.
There's some great lists actually on Amazon. I think we will include those in the show notes.
Yeah.
The Bic Crystal for her ball pen. a good one here. Hulk sad, Hulk demand, Bic for him. I should have done it in a Hulk voice. I'm sorry.
Pretty good.
Of course, there's all the classics like the whole Tuscan milk, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Wheelmate laptop steering wheel desk.
Oh.
Michael McCullough wrote, I'm using it right now to post this review, and I never... And speaking of people being deceived on the internet, you know, crowdfunding can be like a bug zapper, drawing people into something that they probably should be staying away from and definitely shouldn't be investing in. There have been quite a few Kickstarter and Indiegogo projects that have been successfully funded but never materialized.
That's true.
And, you know, Kickstarter and Indiegogo have been fighting this since their inception.
Yeah.
Well, Kickstarter took some action recently to prevent it from happening again. The Scarp Laser Razor got the boot from Kickstarter. I love that name.
Scarp? Yeah.
The Scarp Laser Scarp. Razor.
Scarp.
They got the boot from Kickstarter after having raised just over $4 million from backers.
Ooh, wow.
Now, as the name of this obvious product specifically states, the Scarp Laser Razor has a freaking laser attached to its freaking head. It's not a shark, though. You can shave with a shark with a laser attached to its freaking head. In other words, you can shave your face with a laser beam.
Oh.
So my first question is, why, God, why did Kickstarter kick them off of their site? Well, Kickstarter says it's because of one pesky little fact. Kickstarter says Scarp doesn't have a working prototype.
Oh.
Kickstarter said that the laser razor was in violation of our rule requiring working prototypes of physical products that are offered as rewards.
Hmm.
So if you watch the promotional video, you will see a prototype. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't use that thing on my face. And not just because I have a long, luxurious beard, but because I actually want to keep my face.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the video for this?
No, I have not. I haven't seen anything about this.
Take a second to look at it. It is really, really bad. It's like they're showing it working, but it's using like a little piece of fiber optic cable or something to run the laser beam. Because obviously, you know, you have to turn the laser beam somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it just turns up hot enough to where it will burn the hair off.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that kind of gets into the purview of, like, you know, the FDA.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about, like, no razor burn, no scratches, no infection, no itch. Just burn your face off.
Yeah, so third-degree burns. That's all.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. And the other thing is, it doesn't work nearly as fast as an actual razor does.
Yeah.
It's like, in the video, it's like, click, click. It's like one hair at a time. Click, click,
oh, wow.
Click. And you see it. It's like literally burning the hair off.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand why anybody would invest in it, let alone $4 million worth.
I would have to imagine that smells so badly.
Oh, man.
You're burning hair off of your face.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, not surprisingly, Scarp has moved on to greener pastures, or I guess I should say pinker pastures.
Not okay.
I'm not sure what that was about. Scarp has set up shop over at Indiegogo, whose color scheme is pink.
Oh, I was thinking like raw skin.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't going that dark with it. No, Indiegogo's color scheme is pink. That's all I was saying.
Sure, I see.
Whereas, ironically, Kickstarter's color scheme is green. And they have raised a measly $400,000 as of the time of this recording.
Yeah, that's nothing.
People really want lasers.
It ended on the 25th, and they went almost double of their goal. And I don't understand why. Because it's like, if someone is in the news for having scammed people,
yeah,
you typically stay away from that place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry, if Kickstarter will allow someone to make potato salad and bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars to make potato salad, and they say, no, this product is not worth it,
that's a sign.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm pretty sure that the potato salad guy did not have a working prototype of his potato salad at the time of him launching that campaign.
It just burned hair off of people's faces.
The potato salad?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Not good.
It'll be interesting to see if this ever does come to fruition, you know, if this product ever comes out and how many people's faces are burned off.
I feel like we have quite a long time before we have to worry about that.
Yeah, I was reading a few articles about all of the different Kickstarter and Indiegogo campaigns that made well over their goal and just never actually came out.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever experienced that? Like, have you had one that you invested in?
So far, knock on wood, they all appear to be going strong. I've got a couple that I haven't received my reward yet, but I have no reason to think that I won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got two now that I've invested in that I haven't received back from. It's actually your Christmas present. One of them is.
Oh, great.
Both of yours.
Great excuse.
Well, if you're not getting anything for Christmas. No, I actually got something else picked out for you, too. So
I'm
that nice.
You think really far ahead, by the way.
What happens is you walk into Sears and there's a deal where something that normally is $100 is $5.
Oh,
and you
wow.
go, I will get one of those for every single person I know.
Yes,
and
please.
They will be happy. or they might not, but they still got a $100 gift.
Yeah.
So, there you go. The other one was, I really wanted it. And I was like, man, Amber, my wife, actually was like, you know, yeah, I bet Sean and Tom would like that too. So I ordered one for you guys too. Anyways, but that one is supposed to be here at the end of November. The other one, I bought it, or I did the Indiegogo in the summer. It was the, it's called a Rocketbook. It's a notebook that's microwavable, which I know, like, most notebooks are microwavable.
And why?
Because the ink disappears when you microwave it.
Oh, okay.
So it's like invisible ink, but it only goes away when you microwave it.
That's kind of cool.
It is. I'm interested. And it, actually, it's a really easily accessible pen that it works with.
Mm-hmm. But you think it's not going to come out?
I don't know.
Have you not heard anything from these guys in a while? Because that's the telltale sign.
No, they've actually
when
been
the
really...
creators, like, drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
No, they've been really good, actually, about communicating. It just... Something about it felt fishy at first, but now, like I said, they've been really good communicating and keeping us updated on what's going on. So
no, that's good.
I doubt it will live up to my expectations.
Yeah.
I believe I'll actually get the product. I don't think it'll live up to my expectations.
I got you.
Because what I want is something where I can go into a meeting with no computer, no laptop or whatever, take notes, and then just transfer them. That's the other thing. It has an app. Mm-hmm. Where it'll scan the document into your phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If it was just the reusable pen, I think that would totally live up to expectations.
I would love it if it was, like, super over the top, like the laser razor, and, like, every single page had a tiny rocket on it to turn the page for you. That's immediately what I thought when you said rocket book. I really don't need
and
this.
And voice activated.
Yeah.
Turn the rocket page.
No, I think you actually have to make the rocket sound to make it turn.
Now, I will say...
I like that.
I have never actually backed Indiegogo or...
Kickstarter?
Kickstarter. I could not remember the other name.
You have never lived, sir.
I never have. There's been plenty where I'm like, oh, that would be really cool, but...
It's like a Christmas present to yourself because usually they don't come to for another 9 months to a year later. By the time it comes, you've forgotten about it. And you're like,
and then it shows up.
Yay.
Yeah. I that's how I feel like the ones that I've done, I just completely forgot that I was getting it. I'm like, oh, look at that.
I also feel like there's just so many of them that I don't have time to look through them.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, the reason I have always been very successful, I feel like, with my Kickstarters is I only... back 90% of the time I'm backing albums or this is weird card decks
you got Exploding Kittens that one that you backed through Kickstarter that was great.
I got a copy of it too the other day at Target.
It
was on
an end cap.
It's a big deal.
It wasn't even just on the shelf, it was on an end cap.
I really like it. I may buy one as well.
How much is it at Target?
Same price, $20.
Okay. Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
I was like, yeah, cool.
Sweet.
Well, let's move on to another thing that we like here at Digital Tech. It's some news about one of our favorite password managers, LastPass.
Oh, yeah, LastPass.
You hear us talk about it a lot.
All the time.
Because most of us here use it.
On
I don't
the
know
podcast.
If you use it.
I do use it.
So all three of us use it.
On the radio show, to everyone I work constantly over, and everyone I work with over and over again, they hear me talk about it constantly and nag them about not using it or they should be using it. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
It is.
Ars Technica is reporting that LastPass is being acquired by LogMeIn, which makes remote desktop management and support software for individuals and businesses. LogMeIn will pay $110 million for LastPass.
It's a good chunk of change.
Pretty nice, yeah.
It's not a billion. I'm like, Instagram went for a billion.
Yeah, but still, 100 million.
LastPass is so much more valuable to, me at least.
That's true.
Golly.
But you can't LastPass what you had for lunch.
I could, but no one else would see it.
Yeah, exactly. If you have never heard of LastPass, and really, how could you listen to the show and not have heard about it? We talk about it all the time. We're not kidding.
If you have even heard of our names, you've heard of LastPass.
You've heard of LastPass.
Or Dashlane, to be fair. I mean,
or OnePass.
Dashlane and LastPass are really fantastic, and OnePass too, yeah.
They're all good. Yeah.
We just happened to get LastPass because that's what we had first.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a password manager that generates strong passwords and will store them for you in an encrypted vault. It offers extensions and apps for desktop and mobile browsers that will automatically fill in password fields once you've logged in with your master password, the last password you'll ever have to remember. They currently offer free, premium, and enterprise versions of the software. LogMeIn actually bought another company last year called Meldium, I believe is how you say that.
Really? I didn't remember that.
Yeah, which makes another password manager for teams and businesses.
Oh,
and it looks like those features will be integrated into LastPass once the deal goes through.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, the one thing about LastPass is it's not that great for, you know, your work environment.
Yeah, I've tried to use it to share passwords and it's not that great. It's already hard to transition into using it, and to then transition into the enterprise or the sharing, it's kind of difficult.
Yeah,
so that's been my only complaint with it so far. So I used LogMeIn to help remote tech support back last year when I was running my business, and so that's interesting. I wonder if they'll be able to integrate it into the LastPass into the LogMeIn. Yeah, system.
They haven't said a whole lot about what they plan to do.
Yeah.
The people who the founders and everything who run LastPass said they were very excited about this, and I'm sure they are.
Of course they are. They're sleeping on a bed of money.
Exactly. but one of them wrote a blog post when this kind of came out, and I guess he got a lot of negative feedback on it because people were saying, "Oh, I've used LogMeIn. I'll never use them ever again. Like, this is great for you guys, but this isn't great for me as like a business owner." I don't know.
Wait, so they were mad at LastPass that they were buying LastPass, or
they were just saying like, "Good for you guys, but I'm probably not going to use your product anymore if you're part of LogMeIn."
LastPass. They were saying that LastPass customers. I did not have the best experience with LogMeIn, but it was good. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, this is no criticism of LogMeIn because I don't think any of us really know. We haven't had a whole lot of experience.
Well, I've used LogMeIn quite a bit. I prefer TeamViewer. That's just a preference thing because LogMeIn got really expensive.
And that's something that Ars Technica mentions is that LogMeIn used to have a free version, but they discontinued it.
Yeah.
So that does kind of make me worried that they're going to get rid of the free version of LastPass because it's wonderful. Anybody can download it right now, start using it. I pay for the premium version because you have to do that to get the iOS app, which is totally worth it.
Yeah.
$12 a year, it's. I mean, we're not selling it. Again, Dashlane is just as good from my experience.
Yeah.
I think LastPass is cheaper, just a little bit. Or a lot of it, I can't remember. I didn't get into it too deep.
Password managers in general.
Oh yeah.
If you're going to use, you know, those three or the two main ones, like they're great. You should definitely be doing it.
It makes a lot of sense synergy between the two products because when I would do tech support for a company, I often had their password saved on LastPass.
Oh yeah.
So I'd remote in. But then I didn't have LastPass on their computer.
Yeah.
So if I could remote in using LastPass on LogMeIn, and it would just fill it in for me, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
Okay. Well, this wouldn't be a podcast without some Google news.
Oh, Google news.
We got lots of it.
We already talked about Apple, so.
That's true.
Yeah. So we can move on to Google now.
As you probably remember, last month, Google restructured itself under a new parent company called Alphabet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, really jazzed about their new name. Google ran to snap up alphabet.com, but whoops, it was already owned by BMW they weren't selling.
Yep.
Nope.
So Google decided that if it couldn't own alphabet.com, it would buy the alphabet.
The entire alphabet?
It has officially purchased ABCDEFGHIJKLMNOPQRSTUVWXYZ.com. That's right. Now, right now, if you punch that in your browser, it won't go anywhere interesting. In fact, it went to a broken webpage for me.
Uh-oh.
Leads to an inactive website.
Let's see. Here we go.
So apparently they aren't doing anything.
Pulling it up right now. Yep. Webpage is not available.
Oh, man.
But if you go to alphabet.com, it is a fleet services for
for BMW.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but they did buy it. The domain name officially belongs to them. Of course, you can still learn all about Google/Alphabet at abc.xyz.
Oh, that's right.
Beautiful.
And last week we did, or I did, or it wasn't really last week, it was about 2 weeks ago.
It was the last time we released a podcast.
Yep. I promised our listeners we would talk a little bit about the new Nexus phone, which of course is Google's flagship that just came out. Well, actually, there are two of them that just came out.
Oh.
Google/Nexus has pulled a iPhone 6.
That's, oh.
Yeah.
Really?
There is two phones that have come out. It's the 5X and the 6P. So the 5X is a smaller and cheaper phone, and the 6P is the big, large phone. Stop me if this sounds familiar to you.
A little bit.
Yeah. The 5X is made by LG. It has a 5.2-inch 1080p screen, a 12.3-megapixel rear camera with laser autofocus.
Lasers.
Everyone loves lasers.
Can you shave with it, though?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
No?
And it's got a pretty beefy 2700 milliamp. MAH, what's MAH stand for?
Meh.
Battery.
milliampere hour.
Yeah, no, that's sad, okay. Because we just did an Ask Deemable Tech, like not that long ago, where we had to say that over and over again.
Milliampere hour. Milliampere hour.
A meh battery.
A meh.
Yeah, it stands for meh.
Yeah.
But that's not meh. 2700 is not meh for a phone.
No, that's pretty good.
And the phone starts at a very affordable $379 for the 16-gigabyte version.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad at all.
The 6P is made by Huawei, strangely enough.
Wait, is that locked or unlocked?
It's unlocked.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of those, like, 4G global radio dealies, so you can kind of take it anywhere.
Before you go any further, let me just say, I've been looking at getting an iPhone, and because of this whole, you know, no longer buy stuff on contract business, I'm looking at paying more than that for it. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Might be making an Android converter out of me.
What?
Probably not.
Wow. Okay,
go ahead.
That would, I don't know what we'd do if you
asked. I could keep my 5S. And get that. I feel and then like I could finally dual wield.
That would upend the entire structure of this show, right?
Yeah, I would become the Apple fanboy since I'm the only other one that has an iPhone.
Well, stay with me. There's another phone here we got to talk about.
Okay. Oh, God. Well, there's more.
The 6P.
The 6P. The 6P is actually made by Huawei, which is this is their first kind of big phone, I think, to hit the market in the U.S.
I don't even know.
They're Chinese. They've kind of been known for that. They are the company. Their claim to fame, sadly, so far is being investigated by Congress for supposedly allowing the Chinese to have backdoors into our infrastructure. Which is really a case of the pot calling the kettle black, but whatever.
Yeah.
Let's leave that aside. Yeah. They've made a pretty cool phone.
Okay.
It's a Nexus. Supposedly, the P in 6P stands for premium. And it actually features an anodized aluminum case, whereas the 5X is pure plastic.
Oh, that's why it's so cheap.
Interesting.
Yeah, I see.
This is a larger phone. It has a 5.7-inch screen. It's got some kind of... There were numbers. The numbers are ridiculous. I don't know what they mean. It's got some kind of super ultra mega high density Samsung display.
Oh, the super mega ultra high density.
Yeah. Wow. Like with phone displays, like the numbers, you look at them, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I don't know what this means.
Yeah, I was assured by the review I read on Ars Technica that it was insane.
All right.
It rocks a 12.3 megapixel camera similar to the 5X. And these are good cameras, by the way, for the Nexus phones, which usually have not so great cameras. Mm. But these are good for Android. Android has always suffered from mediocre cameras.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I've heard.
But the battery is a whopping 3,450 mAh.
Meh.
So I guess when you have a big phone, you can put a big battery in it.
Yeah.
That is true. That is what it takes. You have to have a big phone.
Yep. This phablet is a little bit pricier. This one will start at $499 for the 32-gigabyte
version. Wow. Now, I do have one question.
Sure.
If you put this phone in your back pocket and sit down, will it bend the phone?
Nope.
That's an excellent question.
It'll actually bend your butt.
Oh, okay.
That's right. But my butt's already bent.
Oh, yours is. Okay. Mine.
yours
no, my. I have a nice rounded rear end, too.
Thanks for sharing.
Let's continue.
Off the rails.
Both phones, of course, ship with Android Marshmallow, the latest version of the Android operating system, because they are the Android flagship phones. They have to have the latest.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about the Nexus phones is when you get them, unlike if you get some kind of Verizon phone or some kind of, you know, AT&T phone, you're pretty much guaranteed to get the latest and greatest as far as software updates go. Mm-hmm. That's the big problem with Android is that you know, I've got the last year's Moto X. I'm on Verizon. Sounds like I'm not getting Marshmallow. Whoops. Too bad for me.
Yeah.
You know? With a Nexus, you don't have that issue. Mm-hmm. You will get the latest version. Hmm. So both phones will have the latest version of the operating system on them. And both, again, call back to the iPhone, have fingerprint sensors.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't know that Android even supported fingerprint sensors
yet.
Yes,
it does.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Going back to LastPass, uh-huh. The iOS app, you can use the fingerprint scanner to log in. You don't have to type in your master password.
That is wonderful.
That's very cool. And it is so good. Very, and I hope that the Android version has that.
That would be great.
It's so worth it.
Because I don't know if I should give this away. You can put in a PIN code when LastPass pops up on my Android.
Hmm.
I have it so I can just punch in a PIN code, like a 4-digit PIN code, real quick instead of having to re-enter my entire LastPass password all the time.
Yeah.
Moderate security. That would be great to replace that PIN code with just like a fingerprint.
It works so well.
That's awesome.
It really does.
Yeah. When iOS came out with that feature, it totally changed my use of LastPass to where I use it constantly now.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for every single thing that I do on the web.
That's
cool.
That's really cool.
Makes it so much better. I would love it to be a little bit more integrated with other apps. Like, they can make it where you can log into an app using LastPass, but it's really the other app developer that has to use that integration.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what we got for today.
Yeah.
That's it.
Some cool new phones.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done it already, what do you need to do? You need to leave a review. Have you guys left a review?
Yes. I left one of the first few years.
Yeah. Sean, have you left a review?
I'm not going to pad my own reviews. That seems a little
all right, well,
dicey.
I'm talking to you, dear listener. Please leave us a review if you haven't done so already. We would really, really appreciate it. Also, you know, if you want to give us feedback, if you think we're idiots or you think we're geniuses.
Or if you think Ray's an idiot and Tom's a genius.
Tom's an idiot.
And Sean's in the middle somewhere.
I'm average.
You can always send us an email to feedback@deemable.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 1-888-972-9868. And you can also tell us what you want us to talk about.
Yep.
Go to our subreddit page. You can just get there by going to deemable.com/reddit. We got a little redirect. It'll take you right to our Reddit page. You can submit a story. If you see something really cool in the news and you're like, oh, they should totally talk about this on Deemable Tech, let us know. Mm, submit
a
story.
That's what you're supposed
to do. It's super easy to do. You can always do it that way. And you can vote other stories up or down. If you think a story is stupid that somebody else posted, vote that sucker down.
So stupid.
Or if you think it's awesome, vote it up. Either way, deemable.com/reddit will take you there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening.
Bye, I love you.
Bye, I love you.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.